Our reading this morning from the first chapter of Joshua, we're going to read verses 1 through 9. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said, unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Now, that's not going to be our text verse, but it is going to encompass a lot that I have on my heart today. I want us to look at that word that continued to be brought out before us in the reading about strength and about courage. And the reason for it. He admonished Joshua, and Joshua was taking over the responsibilities of leading God's people. Moses had been given that by his experience at the burning bush, and God called him to go and take the people from Egypt and bring them to the promised land. And he was passing this on to Joshua. And God encouraged Joshua to be strong and to be courageous, which is a Christian virtue that we would have in our service to God, courage. Now, why? And I want to maybe just go back in this chapter. Why was he to be courageous? Well, first of all, God promised him that he would be with him wherever he went. Now that in itself is a thing that we could maybe take a step back and consider. He promised Joshua he would be with him wherever he went. And also he was to have courage because he was to obey God's command. He told him that if he would keep the law of God before him in his leadership, and that he would not turn from it to the right or to the left, that he would have, it says, good success. If he would keep the law, and the law was God's instruction about how he was to live his life and how the people were to live their lives. And if they would keep that in front of them, that they would have good success in their journey. And he's a fulfiller of his promises. If you go back, he said that this land was given to you as an inheritance, and I will fulfill my promises to you. So those are just some of the things that gave Joshua a reason in a time when he was maybe afraid of what he was getting ready to venture upon. Yet he had an admonishment by God himself to be strong and to be courageous. Our text verse is going to come from the 28th chapter of Proverbs and verse 1. And Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1, it says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." The wicked flee when no one pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And this morning, I want to talk about fear, and I want to talk about boldness. And to be honest, that's not something that often I have thought about in terms of one of the graces of God, but the ability to be bold, particularly in our faith and the things that we believe, but also going about our tasks, that this proverb really speaks to me. Because so often people are afraid, and there is so often a need for good people to be bold. And in this proverb, it says that there's an attribute about those that are wicked and those that are righteous. So I want to maybe for just a little bit this morning unpack this verse and explain what it means. And I feel like that God has a message for us this morning to obey. Now, Guyana this morning in her talk, and sometimes Guyana, she doesn't preach, but she admonishes the congregation. And today I needed to hear what she had to say. So I was kind of teasing there for a second, but not really. And she spoke about how that oftentimes that in the moment, we don't know exactly how God is going to lead us, but we do a lot of preparation, and we know that in the hour that we need God's presence, that's when He allows us and leads us by His Spirit to do what He calls us to do. Now, that word this morning made me think about our text and about how that boldness comes from understanding that we have the presence of God with us and that He's going to lead us. We have confidence in that. And that we, if we will follow after God's leadership, both in the book of the Word of God, but also by the leadership of the Spirit of God, that we're going to have what we need when we need it. And all of us are facing different things in our life. And we all have something in common, that we all need the help of God. We all need Him to allow us, to enable us to be able to do that which is in front of us. And without that help, we feel very unable to accomplish the work that's before us. And I think that the verse this morning is an encouragement. And first of all, I want to focus on the first statement. The wicked flee when no one pursueth. Now, the wicked and the righteous are mentioned here, but we don't use those words very much today, do we? We don't say, well, there's a group of people that are wicked, and now even young people have turned that into a different meaning. So I'm using the biblical meaning of the word wicked. There's a group of people that are wicked, and there's a group of people that are righteous. Now, who are the wicked? And no doubt the Bible oftentimes put these two groups of people at distinction. There are those that are wicked and there are those that are righteous. Now, it's important to understand who he's speaking about here. He's not talking about people that generally do good and people that generally do bad. In fact, there may be some surprise in our, if we were to understand who was in each group, we might find some that God views as wicked that we wouldn't have put them there in that group. There probably also are people that God has labeled them as righteous that we wouldn't necessarily put them in that group either. And many of us that are God's children feel like that, even though God calls his children righteous, we kind of would say, well, we know we've made mistakes in our life and we've sinned, And even as the sister testified this morning, that, you know, I had to come to a place where I was a sinner above all sinners. So I know that I have made mistakes in my life, and you know you've made mistakes in your life. But he's not speaking about the way that people act generally, but he's speaking about our relationship with God. A wicked person is a person that does not have a relationship with God and lacks faith in their Creator. And many times, because of this, they commit sin and do not seek for forgiveness. They don't have a fear of God in their life because they don't really know Him, nor do they reverence Him for who He is. Now, this morning, there may be even some in this very room that, according to the definition of God, you are wicked. You do not have a relationship with the Lord. You have never been forgiven for your sins. Sins still have not been dealt with. And perhaps because of that in your life, you are harboring and treasuring sin. And because of that, you know that your relationship is broken before God. That's what it means to be wicked. And there are so many people in the world that we would say are good people even, but they do not have a relationship with God. And so therefore, according to God's definition, they are in fact wicked. All of us, the Bible says, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us have, we know what God has required of us, and we have failed to meet God's requirement. And this morning, I want to make it very clear that if you do not address your sins before God, if you never have a time in your life where you repent of your sins from a broken heart and find the forgiveness that only God can give, that you are on the wrong side of eternity and on the wrong side of what will be someday God's wrath. I know this is a very strong message, and you may feel like I'm being a little too forward, but I want to be very plain that everybody needs to be saved. Everybody needs to be forgiven. Everyone. Nobody's exempted from this. Everybody needs to approach God on His terms and be saved. And if you're not saved, if you've never had an experience where God has forgiven you and taken that burden of sin away and put peace in your heart, then you are, by God's definition, wicked. And every one of us would end up there but by the grace of God. Amen. Every one of us. The Apostle Paul, probably a man that has done more good than all of us put together for the cause of God and the cause of Christ. He recounted his experience with God, and he said that he knew and was made to know by God's Spirit that he was the chief of sinners. And that if he looked back about his life, he didn't have anything that he could point to say, because of this, I'm righteous. And he went through a list of his accolades, and he said, you know, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was righteous in the eyes of man beyond anybody that was around me. But yet he said that all of those things that he counted but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He admitted and confessed in the holy pages of Scripture that the only righteousness that he had was from Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's where all of us are that have been saved by God's grace. But a person that does not have a relationship with God, they are wicked. And could you imagine going through this life without the help of the Lord? For all of us face so many difficulties. Sometimes the difficulties we face are because of our doing. Maybe we've committed some sin, and because of that, we've created a lot of difficulties in our life. But sometimes it's beyond our doing. It's not something that we have done, but something that has even been done to us. And this life is very difficult. This life will overcome us and overwhelm us
And we will fail, in fact, in our life if we don't come to know the Lord. Because without God, this world is too hard for us.
I don't know who needs to hear this morning, but this is what's ringing in my heart.
You need the Lord in your life. You need God, not just a concept of God in your mind, but you need God in your life as someone that you know, as someone you trust, as someone you lean upon. You need that. Can you imagine?
There are so many people that have been given responsibility. And you think about the responsibility that Joshua was given to lead God's people, but all of us have been given responsibility. We've all been given charge over something in our life.
Think about how many people are trying to raise a family without God in their life. I have a hard time. I can't figure out how to get it done. I need God to help me day by day.
When I was young, I thought I had all the answers. I kind of said, if I was a dad, I would do it this way, and I would do it the next way. And you know, look at these parents and, you know, everything, and I've got a plan. And then you have one. And you realize, I
don't have the capacity to get this done. There are problems that are too big for me. But you know, that's a, you know, as we think about what Joshua had in front of him to lead God's children, I want you to know one of the greatest responsibilities that we have as adults is to raise up a family, to raise up children, to raise up the next generation. And that's something that a lot of us have that responsibility, don't we? And we look at that and it's too much for us. My friend, we need God in our life. If we don't have God in our life, we'll never get that thing figured out. We'll never be able to do it. We won't have success. For we need to show the next generation what it is to live for God.
So he said, you know, the wicked, they pursue, or they flee when no one is pursuing. The idea there is that sin or a life without a proper relationship with God, it causes unreasonable fear. Unreasonable fear. So, in the sense of like war, you know, the they're going to fight and they flee and they give up the battle even though no one is pursuing them. I think about the proverb that says that the sluggard won't go out and work because he says there's a lion in the streets. There's a lion in the streets. There's no lion in the streets, but he's afraid of what might come if he leaves the house. And you know, I thought about this in terms of if we don't have a relationship with God, how that so many things that we might be afraid of, they just multiply, and that wickedness and that sin in our life causes unreasonable fear. You know, if you're honest in your life and you don't tell lies, you're not worried about who might find something out. But have you ever told a lie or known someone that told a lie, and then they had to tell a lie to cover up the lie? And then they had to tell another lie to cover up that lie. And you know, there's people that live their life trying to just dodge and avoid because they've just created so many falsehoods in their life. My friend, when we allow sin in our life, when we do things against the will of God, it causes unreasonable fear and shame. This morning, we were in Sunday school and we were talking about Adam and Eve and about how that Eve, she saw the fruit, that it was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and it was something that she thought would make her wise, and she listened to the devil, and she ate of that fruit, and she gave of her husband, he didn't eat. And we talked about how that was where all sin came from, and that was why all the problems that are in the world, they started right there by the rebellion of mankind.
We also talked about what happened next. You remember what happened next when it says their eyes are open? Did they become smarter? Well, no, not actually, not really. Their eyes were open, and what did they notice first? But they didn't have any clothes on. They were shamed. So they put fig leaves on their body to cover up their nakedness, and then they heard God coming,
and they hid from God. They got in the bushes and they hid from him as he walked through the garden in the cool of the day. Now, that just seems crazy. Because God doesn't see like a man sees. God sees everything, but they thought somehow that if they would get themselves hidden, that they would be outside of the eyes of God. How unreasonable. They knew that God could see them, but yet even though they knew it, they were ashamed, and their shame led them to be unreasonable. And sin does that. To our young people, I'll say, be true to the Lord. Be true to your conscience. If you know God has said something is right, don't listen to those around you that try to persuade you in their sins, or you'll end up living a life that's a lie, and that you're always darting, and that you're always trying to find cover. But if you have a right relationship with God, if your heart is clean with God, you don't have those same unreasonable fears. Now, a little example, and I kind of pick on my kids. I'm not going to pick on Lincoln and Michaelin today. So they're big enough, but Emerald won't remember this anyway, so I'm going to tell on her a little bit. So she's been told not to write on herself. I don't know if any of you will have those same rules, but they can't write on their bodies. And by the way, it makes it really confusing when people have tattoos, but I'll leave that one alone. She'll go up to them and, "What is that?" And I just stay out of the conversation. I act like I didn't hear it. I'm kind of curious at what they're going to say. I just kind of, I go over here and let Emerald take care of it. Last night, she comes out of the blue. Not solicited, nothing. She comes up and covering her legs with her shirt, and she comes up to us, and she can't hardly walk because she's trying to keep it. And she says, "I did not ride on my legs." Now we laugh at that and we kind of joke, but I want you to think about that. I didn't have any clue that she had a pen, so how would I even know that she had not written on her legs? Where'd that come from? She felt guilt. She felt shame. Sometimes I wish they felt a little more of that, because she then waddled off and we said, "You come back here." And she went down the stairs and I had to go chase her. Not enough shame. But it was a little unreasonable to think that she could get away from Dad, because Dad said, "You come back here right now." And then she heard my chair move and I got up and she lost it. It's terrible. The world's, gone down. So I get her and bring her up. Pain. I didn't do anything to cause her pain. Pain came from somewhere. Inside. Today, this morning, and then we'll finish this story. Today, this morning, we asked Michaelin to go and give her a bath and really scrub her legs really good. And Michaelin said, "Why do I need to scrub her legs really good?" And we said, "Well, I don't know, Emerald, why does she need to scrub your legs really good?" And she said, "Because a bunny came and rode on my legs." Unreasonable. I love you, sweet girl. They're clean now. But we laugh at a little child. We do. We laugh at a little child when some things like that happen. But have you ever thought about how it must look to God whenever we have unreasonable fears about the things that we've done? We're darting, and we're dodging, and we're not addressing, and we're not bringing up. "Adam, where art thou?" God knew where Adam was. He knew that Adam needed for God to know. He knew that Adam needed to know that God knew where he was. We were hiding because we were naked and we were ashamed. Who told you that you were naked? And then it came out. We ate, the woman you gave me, she ate of the fruit and she gave it to me and I did eat. And that was the truth, but he was also blaming. My friend, that's what he needed. You see, it looks like that was really hard. And that is really hard for us to address our sins with God. But until we do that, we will flee when no one is pursuing. Until we get the wickedness out of our heart, we live our lives that way, and it's just unreasonable in the way that we approach things, and we're always trying to cover up. I was reading in the book of Judges about a man named Gaal, G-A-A-L, and he was at a tavern one night or some event and was saying, you know, who is this Abimelech, I think was his name, that is the king. And, oh man, if he were to come down here, I would just show him what's for. And, you know, I don't even understand why anybody's even listening to him. And the word got back to the king that he said that. And the king said, well, I'm going to send somebody after Gaal and I'm going to take care of him. And Gaal would get up at night and he would go to the gate of the city and he would look up and he would say, I think there's men that are up there after us. And they would say, it's just the shadows of the mountains. Go back to sleep. Go back to bed. But he couldn't sleep. Because truly, he was afraid of the shadows. Eventually, he did get caught up too, and he did die. But he was afraid constantly because he had brought up in his mouth and overpromised something he couldn't deliver. And he was afraid even when no one was pursuing. My friend, today, if you're living your life without God, you're on a slippery slope. And you're tired. You're tired of living like that, where you're just darting outside of the view of God, you think. But it's unreasonable, and you're always afraid someone will find you out. My friend, that's no way to live. God doesn't want us to live that way. He wants us to live courageously. And the only way that we can do that, to be bold, is to have a confidence of God, to have a quietness of our spirit that we're settled. That we're settled with, you know, it doesn't matter. You think about the lion. He said, the righteous are as bold as the lion. Have you ever seen a lion just walk? I've been to the zoo, but I've been to the African zoo or the safari, you know, the park. And you see a lion there, and that lion is not worried about it. Right? They just kind of walk, and it doesn't matter whether they're in the plain or whether they're in the woods. It really doesn't matter where they are. They're doing fine. Now the lion, he's doing fine because he knows that if anybody comes up to mess with him, he's the predator. He's stronger than everybody else around him. So it doesn't matter who's around or where he is. He's bold. He's confident. That word bold means confident. And he just walks around. He doesn't have to prove anything. He doesn't have to try to convince somebody. He doesn't have to keep roaring or making noise. He just walks. He just is. Now, the lion is confident in his own strength, and that's where this illustration may be a little bit different from us, is that we're not confident because of our own strength, but we are to be confident in our life because of the strength that God speaks into our life. The righteous are as bold as a lion. They're not trying to prove themselves. They're not trying to speak and voice enough that someone will believe them. They just are. And you think about that when it comes to our relationship with God. What we need is to have enough confidence in God that we'll not need to have the approval of those who are without, or will not be unreasonably afraid about what might come our way because we know that God is with us. Look at Joshua. God told Joshua, be strong and be courageous, for I will be with you wherever you go. If you're living for God, then you can be bold, you can be confident, you can just be knowing that God is with you, and you can have a confidence in your life That's not arrogance. I don't see this, you know, the boldness that he's speaking about here as being arrogant, but he's confident that even though he might face many dangers, even though there might be many things that would come up his way that would cause him anxiety, yet he's able to calm his fears, not by his own strength or his own accolades, but by the knowledge of the presence of God in his life. And that's where we need to be. And that, I believe, comes when we put our faith in God. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it speaks about faith. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you can sense the concreteness in his words. And it says, and it goes on down, and he says, at the end, it says, and what shall I more say? For the time should fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And it says, wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'll stop reading there, but you can sense the strength that even though these people of old, they were given so many trials and tribulations and so many problems, and they were even suffering many great things, but yet they had confidence and they were bold in their life, not in themselves, but in the one that they trusted in, and it was through faith that they had obtained so many victories. And my friends, sometimes the enemy is large, like David and Goliath. Sometimes the enemy is daunting. And sometimes it seems like life has thrown onto us more than we can handle. But yet we can be bold, knowing that God will be with us whithersoever we go. And I don't know why this encouragement today, but there's just a few things, and I'll close, that I thought we could be bold in. We can be bold to do whatever it is that God leads us to do. We should not be afraid to say yes to the leadership of the Lord. However God leads you, whatever the task is, however big it is, you can be confident if God leads you there, He'll enable you to do it. You can be confident in the love of God. I want you to know today, and many of us in this room, probably most of us, we are children of God. We've been saved by the grace of God. Then you can know that He loves you. He loves you. Not who you might be in the future. Not who you aspire to be. Not who you're trying to become. He loves you now. You can be confident in knowing that God makes all things work together for good to them that love God. You can be confident in that. I may not know that today's going to be good, but I know that He works all things together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. We can be confident in knowing that we are safe from the penalty of sin. I don't have to live my life always afraid that God might judge me as a sinner, because I've already taken care of that. I've been saved by His grace. I can be confident in my profession. Meaning, I'm not ashamed to say I'm a child of God. Now, I think for most of us in here, you're probably, there's maybe a couple preachers in here, but most of you are just whatever you, lay people. I don't like that word, but you say, I don't have to get up and be bold and preach. No, but you need to be bold in your profession. You'd be not afraid to tell people about who you believe in and who you serve. You can be confident and bold in that because you know you're not ashamed. To the preacher, I might say you need to be confident in preaching the Word of God. Don't hold back. Just share it like it says it. You know, there'll be people that don't like it, and that's okay. As long as we're obedient to God, as long as we're doing what He says for us to do, we can be confident. We can be bold. We don't have to shy away. We just have to be obedient, right? And probably the last thing would be, and there's so many things we could be confident in. I just thought about a few, but so many things we could be confident in. Probably the greatest thing is we can be confident even in death. You know, one of the things that the world is most afraid of today is they're afraid to die. Boy, if that wasn't one of the things that was apparent through this pandemic. I mean, shell up, hole up, do nothing, stay away from all people. Don't take a chance that you could get a virus because you might die. And the worst thing for a sinner is to die. That's why everybody's so afraid. They're afraid to die. We're all going to die. Every one of us. It might be today. It might be tomorrow. It might be 10 years from now. It might be when we're of old age. I don't know. But someday, we're going to die. As God's people, we can live. Because we're not afraid to die. Now, I'm not saying be unreasonable. I'm not saying go and test that every day. But just have confidence. And know, yeah, I'll do my part, but I want you to know. I know where I'm going when I die. That might be one of the greatest blessings of being a Christian. Is you can live free because you're not afraid to die. One of these days, I'm going to take my last breath. And I've already addressed my sin before God. He has forgiven me. There was a day when I was a kid. I'm not going to go into my whole testimony, but I'll just say this. Oh, my heart hurt. My heart was broken. And I called upon the Lord. And He heard my cry. And He forgave me. And I came to Him and I had this heavy burden upon my heart. And I mean, like that. Whew. He took it away and gave me peace inside. And you know, since that day, I've not been afraid to die. The Bible tells me, and I believe it, that for the Christian, to die is to go from this life to the next life. And you know what Paul said about the next life? That it's far better. So for the Christian, our hope is such that we should be confident. That if they take my life, I go from life to a better life. But regardless of whether I die or whether I live, I do it unto the Lord. And the righteous are bold as a lion, not because of their own strength, because of the strength in the one they trust in. And our God is strong. Not only does our God love us, but our God is strong. And there is no giant too big and no mountain too high that can't be overcome by the presence of the Lord if He wills it. Last thing. I already said that, didn't I? Okay, actually the last thing. The world needs more people to be confident in God. And it's not going to come from out there. It's going to come from each of us saying, I'm going to live my life by faith. I'm going to be confident in God. I'm not going to turn to the right or to the left. I'm just going to obey Him. And He promised Joshua that if Joshua would obey him, he would grant him success. And sometimes success to us and what God deems as success are two different things, but if we trust in God, he'll bring them together. The world is desperately searching for a people that aren't afraid. The world is masking their fear with unreasonableness. May there be a light in the midst of that darkness, a people that one by one put our trust in God and say, we're going to live boldly. As the lion is unafraid, may I be unafraid because of the presence of my God. I believe that David had some days like that. The writer of the Proverbs had times like that where he had to be reminded, if I trust in God, there's no enemy that can overtake me. Hey, and if they get my life here, they can't take what God did inside of me. So may we be bold. May we be confident in the Lord. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. I praise God for that. Why don't we have a song? And God put something on your heart, I just pray that you'd follow the Lord this morning. Follow his leadership.